Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
So, Cass, how are you doing today?
I'm good, thank you.
You well?
Yes.
Great, great. I thought it would be great to start off if you just let the church in a little bit and know who you are and sort of where you've come from.
Okay, well, I was born in Bendigo. When I was younger, I lived at Bible College with my family, BCV, which was in Lilydale and is now MST. We moved to Moorabark in about 2002. I went to Lilydale West Primary School until grade 3, which I then moved to Manchester Primary School. I went to Moorabark College High School, and then now I'm studying at La Trobe University and I'm studying nutrition.
Nutrition?
Yeah.
Do you enjoy nutrition?
Yes.
Does it make you judge people and they're not eating healthily?
Oh, yeah, sometimes.
Sometimes. Great. So what about church? Have you been at church your whole life or are you new to this?
Yeah, so I was pretty much born in church. I went to, up until 2009, with my family, we went to Moorabark Neighbourhood Church that was on Manchester Road. And then that merged with Hope City. We were there for a year. And then my family and I moved to Eastside, which was in Bayswater, which is now Hillsong Church. And we were there for, I think, about 5 years, and then now I'm here.
Excellent. Excellent. And what about your family? You mentioned a little bit about your family. Do you have a family?
Yes, I do. So I have 3 siblings. I'm the second oldest. I've got an older sister, a younger brother, and then a younger sister. In terms of like growing up in church, like I said, my dad was the associate pastor at a Moorabark neighbourhood church. So like we were obviously heavily involved there and there on a regular basis. Now my dad, he just finished his master's degree in theology and he's hoping to do Bible college teaching. He's a carpenter by trade. And my mum, she works in admin at Vermont Secondary College. My sister's studying, my brother's in year 12. And, yeah, I think that's
very
really
good.
It.
So before you actually started, you came to Frontline for the first time, which we'll get into, have you been to the school or had you been to the basketball or on the property at all before?
The only time I'd been here was for inter-school sport, I think in grade 6 when I was at school, and I think it was for volleyball. We played one game here and that was it.
Yeah, cool. It's amazing as I was talking to Cass about this, knowing that she's a local girl and you've been around this area for so long, and I think there's so many people who we have around our local sort of area who don't know that this place really exists. It's like this hidden gem a lot of people come on to the property for. And, I mean, the LMC Lights. You've been to LMC Lights, the show down there. And I think that brings on so many people. It's so amazing. But, you know, this place, often we hear so much that we think, how can you not know? We do so much there. But if we don't go out there and this is going to be part of your story and invite people along and tell people to come along, then they're still not going to know it exists, yeah?
Yeah.
Cool. So what did life sort of look like for you growing up, like at home and that sort of thing?
So, well, we said grace before dinner every night, which, yeah, was kind of normal.
That's great.
That's yeah, we always prayed before we went to bed. As a way to encourage us to read our Bible, Mum would bribe us with like $5 a book. And if it was Psalms, it would be $10.
Psalms, $10.
Yeah, never remembered a thing, but I got money out of it, so that was good. We were always pretty much at church, Easter, Christmas, Sunday morning, Sunday night. But there was, I guess growing up in a Christian home, it was really good because we had that like spiritual support that as someone who's a Christian that's not in a Christian home would probably wouldn't have. That was really good.
Yeah, excellent. That's good. I guess getting on to how we met you here at LMC and about Frontline, how did that come about?
So in year 12, Catherine Schwab, she was in my health class and she invited me to the progressive dinner that was run here at the end of term one. And I wasn't actually going to come, but I'd invited her to things, and so I kind of felt that I should, given that I'm her friend. And I did, and, well, I really enjoyed it, so.
Great, and you stuck around.
Yes, I did.
What did you like? What attracted you to come back? What did you like about it?
You guys, just really friendly.
No, not you. We said this when we were talking about it. We said you guys, but it's not you, it's we. You're part of us.
Well, before I was a part of you.
Yes.
There was a really good atmosphere. I really loved the life groups, it was like Bible studies, which was the other churches and youth groups that I was at. They actually, not to like put them down or anything, but they didn't do that. It was more, they do the same thing like every week. So it was like music and then like preaching. Whereas here we do life groups pretty much every second week and then live nights or worship and preaching every other week, which is, and I kind of, it helped me act to get into my Bible readings a lot more doing that.
Yeah, great. So, I mean, obviously starting to come when you're in year 12, there's a lot on your plate already. So why did you see there being value for you continuing to come along?
Oh, I was valued here. Like, I remember the first time I met Nicole, we had a bit of a chat, and then the week afterwards she came back and she really remembered my name, which is something obviously really small, but it really meant something to me. Just the value that you guys put on people here and make them feel like that they are someone, they're just not another person walking through the door, but they're actually someone who matters. And yeah.
Yeah, it's really good. Really good. It always matters. And even the smallest thing can matter hugely to someone. Smallest thing for us. I guess you came with Catherine. Catherine was your one friend there and encouraged you to meet more people. But what would you sort of say to people who feel like coming to youth, but they, or even to church, youth or church, and they don't really have a huge amount of friends there? How did you sort of get over that hurdle of, I don't have friends, but I'm gonna go anyway?
Yeah, well, it kind of helped, I guess, growing up in a Christian home, because it was always like you'd always put God first. But I guess when you look at coming to youth or coming to church, as you're not doing it for the social side, which, although youth is a big part of, like, it's, you should be coming for God and because, like, you love him and that you want to build a relationship with him. Like, he should be the number one reason why you are coming to church. And then obviously the social side is just a bonus, I guess, yeah.
Very good. So God being our priority, and if God is our priority, then he really does come first in that. And even if the friends come second, if God is coming first, then he is faithful to see us fulfilled and to see us find a place and to find a home. And too often I think sometimes we can look for a home in the natural and in the people and in the relationships, where if our hope is in God and our home is in God, then that makes, I suppose, it can still be hard, but it makes it a little bit easier.
Yep.
I think if that's our first point. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Cool. So I mean, that's a couple of things that happened for you in the past, but I guess this is where it was exciting for me when I was chatting to you about this. What's God doing in your life now, and where do you see him taking you in the future, I suppose, as well?
Okay, well, like as I've mentioned a couple of times, I've always been a Christian. And to be honest, I've never actually done anything like really bad. So I didn't think that my story was going to be that interesting, to be honest. But I guess the reason that I've never gone off the rails or been like drifted so far away from God that I've kind of needed like his love and salvation again, I'm actually very grateful for, and it's quite a blessing that I've never had to go through that. Although this year, my relationship with God, I guess, has been stronger than probably what it ever has been. I've started to read my Bible constantly and engage with him and be in his presence more often. And it's really amazing being in the presence of God, like especially in a one-on-one time when it's just you and him. It's like at that moment, there's nothing else in the world that really matters. And you just, don't know, you can't really explain it unless you've experienced it. But yeah, it's like, I can't explain it. But like, yeah, you just want to be there forever. Like you'd never want to leave. Yeah, and if there's anyone here who doesn't really know what that feels like, I would encourage you guys to go home and set aside some time where it's just you and God, whether it's you're in your bedroom or like you go down to the park or something, just a moment where you can sit down and you can just wait on him and just feel his presence and like his arms just being wrapped around you. And yeah,
What practically is a good time for you? If people are hearing that and going, yeah, that's a great idea, what is an example of how you,
okay,
I suppose, allow God to have that time? Because I don't know, like Cass is part of our worship team as well, which again you're going to get onto. But there's so many, like, you don't send me heaps of texts, but there's a text that you send me through with songs. You say, hey, I'm just listening to this song. I wonder if it's going to be great. And there's so many times, there's about 3 or 4 times recently where we have used exactly what Cass has bought. And it's encouraging. It's encouraging to me. It's encouraging to you. But for everyone, just being obedient, isn't it? And in order to be obedient, we need to be able to set aside the time to actually hear from God.
Yep.
So what works for you, I suppose?
So I just put, like, go into my bedroom, like, lock my doors and shut my curtains. And I just put on worship music, and for like an hour or so, depending on what I'm doing, I'll just like sing and just, I don't know, kind of sit there and just, yeah, I guess just soak myself in God and his presence and just kind of, yeah, listen to what he has to say.
Excellent. So what else? There's some more exciting things that God's doing in your heart.
So in terms of just like, I guess, little things, throughout my life, I guess, I wouldn't say that I was consistently reading my Bible up until like this year. Like, I reckon I went through pretty much year 7 to year 10 maybe with reading maybe a couple books in those like 4 years or so. But the thing that I kind of wanted to say about that was that through those times where I never really sought God, or I never really kind of drew close to him or whatever, he never left me. Like, he was always like, I would continue to pray each night, and he did answer those prayers. And so even though I kind of wasn't prioritizing him so much, he still like prioritized me in the fact that he still blessed me. And yeah, he was just with me through everything, stuff like that. Yeah, but I guess my story probably kind of started in 2010. I remember I was at my grandparents' church in Maryborough, and it was Easter Friday night, and they put The Passion on for their church, like the movie The Passion. And like watching that, I don't know, for those of you who have seen it, like it's a heartbreaking movie. Like, just seeing what God went through for us, it was really, I guess, eye-opening, because like I always knew that, I always knew what God had done, but I guess I never actually realized the fact that he was like whipped and tortured pretty much to the point of death before he was even forced to carry his own cross and then be nailed to it. So that was, I don't know, that was the moment for me where I guess kind of him and his love for me really became real, which is why, like, when we sing Oh Praise the Name, it's just, you can't help but really, like, sing with all you have inside, especially in, the second chorus, the second bridge as you're building up to the chorus. It's just, oh, yeah, it's really good. But, yeah, so for those of you who've never seen The Passion and don't really know much about what happened, I would encourage you guys to either watch it, obviously, with parents' permission, or just to do some, I don't know, like digging into what actually happened, because it's, I don't know, it will impact you with what happened. Yeah, with that one. So when I was at Eastside Church, I was involved in the music team there, both for youth and church. At the end of 2012, just before we merged with Hillsong, I was on pretty much most weeks in terms of music for both church and youth. And then for some reason, the person who was in charge of the worship team kind of stopped putting me on, which I was quite devastated at that point because I really loved being part of the worship team. And then when we became a part of Hillsong Church, they hadn't put me on at all. And I kind of wondered why, but I also understood that being a church merger, like, a lot of things go on, and that's probably not top priority with that one. And so, but I had continued to attend music practice while I was there for quite a few months, actually. And then one music practice when I was there, I found out that the reason that there was a different music team was because they said that they didn't have any musicians. I wasn't actually part of this conversation, I was eavesdropping. But I found out that they said they didn't have any musicians, and I kind of thought to myself, well, that's a lie, because we had a whole team plus, like, obviously quite a few extra people. And hearing that, it really broke my heart, because I had been a part of that and, like, I really loved doing it, and then for some reason they just, like, shooed me away, like, just completely kicked me off the team, and they didn't even come and confront me why, like, so that really hurt me. And then after a couple weeks, I stopped going. I really struggled going to the youth group at Hillsong for that reason. Seeing other people who were put up on stage, I guess, and when I wasn't allowed to be up there, it really hurt me. And I kind of found it hard to go there. And it was really hard, especially when it just seemed like the reason that they were up on stage was because they wanted to be noticed, and it was more about them than what it was about God. And yeah, that kind of.
So I guess that through that experience, how has that changed you and your attitude towards, I suppose, serving on a worship team or in church?
Yeah, I guess it's kind of become, when you're up on stage, it kind of, going through that, it kind of helped me to understand that it's not about us or about me, it's about God. And like sitting in the congregation watching that, like it really didn't encourage me to worship him at all. But then being up on stage with like you and Sky, like you guys, when you're up here, like it's really awesome to see you guys just worship with like absolutely everything, which is really encouraging. So I would just, I guess changed the way I look at worship, where in the fact that it's more about the heart than about what comes out in terms of singing or what you actually look like on stage.
Absolutely. I was just talking to someone this morning about it, and as we come into church, and we really don't know where people are at. We don't know what people's hearts are doing. We don't know the week that they've had. We don't know what they're going through right at that moment. And so sometimes, you know, I can, when I'm up here on stage leading people and I'm just getting revelation of these lyrics, I'm like, man, that is so awesome. And I see someone in the congregation yawning and folding their arms. It's like I have to stop my heart from being discouraged. But I don't know. I don't know what has just happened to them or where their relationship with God is, where their heart with God is at right at that moment. So for me, it's really, yeah, I'm just going to praise God. I'm going to praise God because he is worthy of it. I'm going to keep praising. And if other people see that and are inspired by that, then great. But I think let's just praise God because he is so worthy. And these songs, some of the lyrics are just amazing and a true reflection of our heart. That's what I pray. I pray that people get revelation from songs every single week.
Yeah, but it's like cool. Even it's so encouraging. It really encourages you to worship when you see someone up on stage just, yeah, not caring about what they look like, just, yeah. But so I guess in terms of being at churches, that was probably the worst experience that I had ever had and I have ever had. But yeah, so year 12, I started reading my Bible a bit more. It wasn't consistently, but it was a lot better than what I was doing beforehand. And I was continuing to attend youth and church at Hillsong, but I really didn't go. The only reason, I guess, forcing me kind of to go was because my sister was on the leadership team. I went with my brother and the fact that I go for God and not for myself. But yeah, then one day in health, in year 12, Catherine invited me to come along to that night at youth. And I really, like I said, I really didn't want to go, but out of obligation in my friendship, I did. And out of that, I really enjoyed that night. And I guess out of that, I then brought my brother along, and he's been coming for, pretty much, I think, just under 3 years. And now my younger sister comes as well, and she started Year 7 last year. In 2015, I went to a colour conference in Sydney, which is it's a really amazing conference for women. If you've ever want to go, I would highly recommend it. I went with my mum and my sister, and during worship, it really hit me how much I missed being a part of the music team, because it was something I really loved doing, and then just being in there and worshiping, I guess, being in the atmosphere, it really made me miss being part of the worship team. And so I considered going back to music practice as well. I was at Hillsong, and I never did because I think I forgot. And then I was at Colour Conference this year again, and during worship, it kind of hit me that, I'm part of a music team now, and last year I wasn't, and I really wanted to be, and now I am. And although I'm not at the same church, it's actually even better here. But, I didn't even, realise that until I was at Colour Conference, which that kind of reminded me of how perfect God's timing is, and how we have to wait on Him and just be patient and trust that He knows what He's doing and has it all together. So mid last year, I started to get into my Bible reading, I would say daily, and started to spend time with God on a more regular basis. And doing that, I felt changes take place inside of me. I can't explain it, but it was really cool to actually see the fact that spending time with God and reading your Bible actually does change you, and for the better, I kind of hope. At the end of last year, I was sitting in church and I had the thought of becoming a youth leader, which was kind of strange because I'd never even thought about being a youth leader before. It wasn't something that wanted to do. And then I was praying about it, and I was like, oh God, well, if you want me to be a youth leader, then please have Nicole come and ask me, because I'm not going to go over and talk to her about it. And surprisingly enough, just before my exam, my last exam last year, she texted me asking to catch up, and that was when she asked me if I wanted to be a youth leader. So that was kind of really cool. I was actually really worried about being a youth leader just because, I still don't even know all the kids in the youth group. Whereas most of the leaders have actually grown up with them in their church and part of their youth ministry. It was kind of hard to be coming not knowing anyone, especially the girls who I was going to be in my life group. I didn't know who they were. With the leaders, I didn't even know many of the leaders, to be honest. I knew a couple of them from playing in a Monday night netball team, but that was really it. But I guess coming to youth, Skye has been a really great help. She's been a really great support in our life groups. She's always had my back whenever I've been asked a question and had no idea how to answer it. And all the other leaders, they were just really friendly and inviting. So it made the transition really easy. And then in terms of that, last year after church, one time, I think I was still at Hillsong at that point. And after the message, I don't remember what it was about, but we were having lunch at home, and Dad said to me and my brother as well, he said that during that service, he felt like God was saying to him that I was going to learn to have to be comfortable in uncomfortable situations. And I thought that was just kind of in terms of, I guess, meeting people, which I really struggle at, if you guys have ever met me. But then I kind of realised that through obviously becoming a youth leader and even, talking tonight and being on stage, I guess it's more stepping out in faith and just relying on God and just trusting and knowing that He has your back, and that when you do something for God, you can't fail because, He's obviously going to make sure you don't. And So on that note, I often wondered why God never spoke to me, which I kind of thought most people would. I prayed every night and I went to bed. Like as soon as I finished praying, half the time I fell asleep during my prayers. But I often wonder why God never spoke to me. And then one time during a service, I remember someone preaching that, saying about how prayer isn't just a one-way street. Like we can't just obviously ask God for all these things and then, like, you know, say amen and then go off and do whatever we need to do. We need to make sure that, like, we allow God for time to respond. It's like when you're talking to someone and you ask them a question and then you walk off, or like you just start a new conversation, like you don't give them time to respond. We need to wait on God and make sure that we allow time for him to, we are listening and allow time for him. And I guess in terms of that, the verse that came to me was James 4, verse 8, the first part, where it says, come near to God and he will come near to you. And the first time I intentionally did that, I really felt God and I heard what he had to say, and it was really cool. Also, for those of you who know, I really hated being single, I don't know why. I guess it's like I love doing things with people, and so doing things by myself just never seemed too appealing. But in year 10 and 12, I had this crush on this boy. He wasn't a Christian. And I remember thinking that although he wasn't a Christian, it would be okay because I'd invite him to youth and to church and he'll get saved and then, like, we'll just be a happy couple. And then one night at youth, I remember Nicole was speaking for the relationship series about how we shouldn't put ourselves in relationships of being unequally yoked, because it's a lot easier for people to pull you down and out of Christianity for you to then bring them up into Christianity, I guess.
And Nick uses a great example, which we're going to do right now. And a lot of you guys would have seen this. And Nick will choose one of the guys or something and just say, stand on that chair, stand on that chair. Sorry, Nick. So she'll stand down there. And she'll say, all right, let's just see the example of trying to pull someone up into Christianity versus someone else trying to pull you down into it. And it's so much easier for you to, even as hard as I want to stay up there, it's so much easier for that person to pull you down. It's such a practical example that we use to share to our youth on Relationships Night. So glad that one got you. Thanks, yes. Nick.
So then I guess kind of after that, I'd never even thought of it that way. And so I kind of stopped trying to, I guess, chase this guy and kind of put him out of my mind. And I'm trying to focus more on God. And then at summer camp this year, it was a Saturday night and it was at the end of the night and we were worshipping. And I kind of felt God say to me that he didn't want me to focus, like, he didn't want me to, like, I guess, kind of seek after a relationship with someone, but to seek after a relationship with him. And that I needed to learn to put my desires and, I guess, the love that I have and the affections that I wanted to put into someone else, I need to put it into God and learning to really put him first. And just to tell me that I don't need to be worried or afraid, because God knows what is best for us. And the verse that came for me with that one was Matthew 6:33-34, where it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Which, to be honest, it was really hard at the beginning, but it's gotten a lot easier now. And through this year, I have come to the realization that God is all we need, and that, like, yeah, he's everything, and anything else that he gives us is just a complete bonus. At Colour Conference this year, again, I felt during worship God say that when I worship him, he wants me to do it the same way everywhere. Like, so at home when it's just me and him, and I just let everything go, like I just belt my lungs out and sing and don't care how I sound, like and just really worship with my whole heart, that that's how he wants me to do it, whether I'm like in the congregation or I'm on stage, whether the songs we're singing, whether or not I like them, I still worship them, or the lighting or like what the atmosphere is like or anything like that. But just to pretend like not to worry about who's around me or the people that are around me, whether or not they're worshipping, but just to imagine like it's just me and him and it's like I'm at home, and just to completely get lost in his presence. And I guess when that happens, it changes the way you worship, like, because then you're not worried about what's going on. Like, you can really worship from the heart, and you can really, and when you sing, like, because for me, I sing, like, I've kind of noticed that I sound better. Like, I guess, yeah, there's just something in you that just changes and just everything becomes better. So a couple of quotes that I just wanted to share with you guys that I guess kind of helped me through that was by Matt Redman. He said that in the end, worship can never be a performance, something you're pretending or putting on, but it's got to be an overflow of the heart. And one from Darlene Check, her book Extravagant Worship says, true worship is not about the songs being sung. It's not about the size of the band, and it's not about the size of the choir. And then from a book that I read called Captivating, it's called When We Come to God in Worship, We Come... What is it? We come to God in worship, not to get from him, but to give to him, which I kind of thought that was a really cool point. Anyways, then 2 weeks ago in church when Andy did the video Sunday morning and we did Have It All, I really loved that song, and like, because we did it at music practice like months before we showed it here, and so like, I'd been listening to it on YouTube and stuff and listening to it at home, and I was really excited to do that song, and I was sitting in the congregation, and just the first time they started singing it, I really wanted to worship God, but I was kind of like, oh, there's nobody else really around me that's worshiping, and because nobody else is going to really know the song. And so I was kind of a little reluctant to do it. But then I kind of just sucked it up, and I sat there and I just closed my eyes and I worshiped. And in that moment, hit me that church should be the one place where we shouldn't feel like we can't worship. Like, we should be able to, sit in those seats and not worry about what people are thinking, whether or not people are worshiping, like who's around us, or like whether or not people are watching us or whatever, but just be able to let ourselves go and just to really love God. Like, that church, like, that's what church is for. We shouldn't, like, if we can't do it anywhere else, we should be able to do it in church. And then I kind of remembered about how reading in the Bible with, like, King David, I mean, he did it down the streets. Like, I mean, we obviously don't need to do it here. I mean, down the streets, like, now. But obviously, like, we should be able to do it in church. And then it kind of hit me, like, I had the thought, like, what if, imagine if every single person in this church completely gave themselves in worship, like everyone didn't care about what was going on, but like really, really gave themselves in worship. And then another quote that I had in relevance to that was from Darlene Check's book, where she says, I understand true worship to be when one's spirit adores and connects with the Spirit of God, when the very core of one's being is found loving him, lost in him. The song of a pure heart is yearning for more of God and less of oneself. The song of a pure heart that is yearning for more of God and less of oneself is the music that holds the key to many victories and delights the heart of our King. I guess the last thing I just wanted to quickly share with you guys was a struggle that I've had this year is coming to church, or last year as well, is coming to church by myself. Like, for someone who's been in church with family throughout my entire life, and I'm now 20 years old, so for like, almost 18 and a half years of my life, I was in family with church, and like I said before, I don't like doing things by myself, and so coming here by myself was actually really hard. I remember one night in my bedroom, I got home, I think it was from church, and I was crying because I kind of felt so alone, and like that I was doing this all by myself. And often I'd feel torn between like my family and church. Like, for Christmas Day, I really wanted to come here, but my family going to a different church, they obviously, like, them being more of them, I got kind of drawn with them. And like my sister's birthday was on a Friday night, but we also had young adults camp that night, and so I didn't really get to be there for my sister's birthday. So yeah, that's been really hard. But my family have supported me where they can. Like they came the first night that I was on music, they came to watch me. And for my birthday, they came that Sunday night as well. So it's been good. And they often ask about church and how that's going, which is really encouraging that they just haven't forgotten about me. But I guess through that, it's kind of caused me to rely more on God, and just because that way I'm not going to look at, like, going to my family to ask them about things because they don't know what's going on, that I kind of have to go to God in that sort of way. But I guess this year coming here has been really great. Like, I really feel like this has really strengthened my relationship with God. And like, it is a really amazing church that you guys have got here. I'm very thankful for that.
We, Cass.
I'm really excited for what God's got in store for this church and for my future as well, because I know that he knows me and I'm going to love it either way. So, yeah.
It's good. It's good. Thanks, Cass. Let's give Cass a hand. Thank you so much for sharing. Really great. Church, let's stand as we finish off tonight. And Cass, I really want to pray for the church based on what your dad told you at one point, being comfortable with the uncomfortable. And I think that even what Chris was talking about this morning in stepping out in faith, when God is calling us to be obedient, when he has put something on our minds that this person needs a word or that person needs to ask you to ask them how are they going, that we would be more comfortable with those uncomfortable moments in our lives and be able to have confidence that we can step into those without fear. And if we're being obedient, it doesn't matter what happens after that because God is in control. Can we pray? Lord Jesus, I just thank you. I thank you for Cass. I thank you for her story. I thank you for the journey that you have had her on, that you continue to have her on. And Lord God, we just think about that point about being more comfortable with the uncomfortable times. And Father, for each one of us standing here tonight, that want to be more comfortable with those times, Lord God, I just pray that we would be prepared, Lord God, for those times. Because preparedness for those times starts in our quiet time with you. It starts with our relationship with you. So Father, I just pray for each one of us that we would be able to commit to that daily time, spending time with you, Father God, in your word, praying to you and saying, Father God, have your way in me. And Lord, when those doors open in our lives, that we would have the strength at that moment to walk through them. That we would have the commitment to say yes at those times, Father God. For myself as well, Lord Jesus. Every moment, Lord God, we want to be able to say yes. And Father, you will do the rest. You will have your way. But Father, our hearts are to see you glorified in other people's lives as well as our own. So, Lord God, I thank you again for bringing us together here tonight. I thank you for what you've already done in our hearts. And we look forward to seeing what you're going to continue to do in our hearts as we just continue to offer our lives up to you. We thank you for everything you've done for us again, Lord God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.